Hello everyone, this is Cody from the Rancor's Brothel. No, this upload isn't a mistake. Welcome to the first episode of our five-part Halloween special. And what's more Halloween than the investigation of a spooky old house out in Lovecraft Country? This particular scenario is a personal favorite of mine, being the first Call of Cthulhu game I ever played. It was recently reprinted in Chaosium's Mansions of Madness, Volume 1. Each night from now through Halloween, expect another spooky bedtime story from the Rancor's Brothel. If you like this content or anything else we produce, please leave us a review, drop us a note on social media, or share with a friend. The best scares are the ones you share with others. But for now, sit back, relax, and enjoy Episode 1 of The Cracked and Crooked Manse.
Engage.
If this comes out, my goal is to kind of have this come out on Halloween week. If not, it came out another time.
Those are the two options. Yeah.
If this did not release at Halloween time, if this didn't release Halloween time, then it came out anyway, because it was gonna.
But no, anytime it gets to this time of the year, I always enjoy trying to run some Call of Cthulhu, some traditional spooky shit. I actually have a very personal connection to this. Very personal, but a personal connection to the exact one we're running.
My great aunt died making this.
She did, actually.
Now I just feel bad.
You should feel bad normally.
Yeah.
Have you met me?
Lucas should feel bad for existing.
You met me?
But because of us, not for your own emo self-image.
Fair.
But no, anyway, This is a scenario out of Mansions of Madness, which is a reprint of the 1984 version of Mansions of Madness, I think. It's actually in the introduction here. But anyway, one of the first games that I ever remember playing, the first game of Call of Cthulhu that I ever played, was the exact scenario that I'm going to run for you guys.
Oh, that's fun.
So, like, this was the first non-D&D thing I had ever played, and to this day, I remember the big moment. Now, being 15 or 16 years old and getting this is probably going to be a little different from a bunch of guys and their, you know, not yeah, teens.
Yeah. Thank you.
I was going to say 30s, but...
What's that number?
Just don't worry about it. Let's move on.
Start with a 4
Fuck
or
yourself
five.
Is what it starts with.
Go fuck yourself. But yeah, so it contains a bunch of different sort of adventures. Mr. Corbett's in here. The one that I'm running is in here, which people already know if they've read it. So this is like a classic Call of Cthulhu game. And this is out of the book Mansions of Madness, Volume 1, Behind Closed Doors, which I hope they're going to do more volumes. It's just spooky mansion shit. So nothing is better, in my opinion, than Halloween time and spooky goddamn houses.
Who's bringing the talking dog?
Fail a sand check and we'll see what happens.
In the Google Drive link that you sent us, it had a pug.
It did, yeah.
Yep. I was like, I want to play the pug.
So anyway, this should be fun. It should be a spooky mansion. It should be a mystery, which will turn horrific, and people may or may not live.
I mean, let's pump the brakes on fun. We'll be the judge.
Pirate ghost. To set the scene, we decided Wednesday, February 5th, 1925.
Correct.
You are all friends, he said in air quotes. You're all associates.
Are you talking about us?
Or yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, in real life, I hate that fucking guy.
That's what I was getting at.
How's your character feel?
Damn.
Not great.
So if you'd like to, I suppose before I should get too far, go around, introduce yourselves, and introduce your characters. Who you'll be playing this evening.
Oh, I'm getting bored of that. I am Private Investigator Harold Gallery from Manchester.
And who are you? You said introduce yourself.
A twat.
And your character.
Oh, I'm
name,
Lucas.
Character.
If you don't recognize my voice.
We have new people, so just join in on the fun.
If you don't recognize his voice, good for you.
It's also listed in the description of the game. No one looks at descriptions.
We talked about user agreements earlier.
You know, somebody did look at one because I put a massive spoiler in a description because I thought it was fun. It's some of the only hate mail the Rancor's Brothel has ever directly gotten. That guy was like, dude, you're a prick. You ruined my game. And I'm like, well, sorry.
Don't read the fine print.
It's like, I didn't realize that our podcast tweets were going to be so popular when your table Googled it.
Thanks for listening, though.
if you still are.
Thanks for ruining that guy's game.
If not, come back.
Please.
Yeah. We always appreciate you. Name is Alex. I am playing Dave Masters. He is a book dealer.
I am Troy. I am playing Dr. Antoine Delacroix, an occultist. Occultist.
Doctor what?
The occultist. Not an cultist.
It's astronomy.
Odd question. When we're referring to your character, how would you like us to refer to it? You are a doctor, after all.
Dr. Antoine Delacroix.
Full name?
Whole
or just
name?
Name.
Oh, God.
Holy shit! Please help save me from the monster, Dr. Antoine Delacroix. They're going to be dead by the time they get that out.
Yeah.
Dr. Antoine, did you
speak faster?
I didn't go to...
I'll look out for that monster behind you!
I didn't go to astronomy school for 8 years. 12.
12.
12 years to be called Mr. Delacroix.
Dad.
Yeah. You just call him Dad.
You're Dad now.
Oh, that's funny.
And I am Tyler. I am playing George Avery, the librarian.
So again, it is, whatever we said, Wednesday, February 4th, 1925. You are all associates or friends or frenemies or whatever of Harold Gallery, our private investigator. And Harold Gallery is receives this letter shortly after the first of the month. I have put the text in the chat because I asked Troy whether or not this came with a PDF download, and he said it did not. So,
oh,
the book.
The,
yeah,
I was like, "What the fuck are you talking about?"
Okay, suppose I should read this to everyone, huh?
If you'd like to, it is addressed to you.
Top left corner is the letterhead stating Dodge Brothers in a very cool looking font. Attorneys at Law, 14 Main Street, Gamwell, January 30th, 1925. Dear Dash, I presume is me.
Yep, so you could put your name in there. That's what the dash is intended to be.
Dear, say your name here.
Dear sir or madam, insert your name here.
Dear whom it may concern.
Dear Mr. Gallery. I have been referred to you by a mutual friend. As his attorney, I am very interested in locating the missing Mr. Arthur Cornthwaite. And our associate mentioned your name as being one skilled in locating missing people, particularly those of Mr. Cornthwaite's persuasion. Thus, I have taken the liberty of contacting you. I'm a partner of an established legal firm in Gamwell. Mr. Arthur Cornthwaite is one of our clients... And his attorneys, and as his attorneys, we hold certain documents in trust for him. It appears Mr. Cornthwaite has departed without notifying us of his movements. This leaves us in a quandary as to how to manage his estate in his absence without his authority on such matters. We would like you to locate Mr. Cornthwaite and obtain from him his wishes in respect of this matter, or better still, request. Did I skip a line? Shit.
No, you're on the right place.
Yeah, I'm scrolling back and forth on my phone, sir. I had to zoom in. Or better still, request that he contact us. If it should, heaven forbid, transpire that Mr. Cornthwaite is no longer with us, then we will need some evidence of same to proceed with his wishes as outlined in his last will and testament. Hopefully this is in an unnecessary contingency, but one which we must nevertheless consider in the light of Mr. Quenthwaite's mysterious departure. I hope that you are free to give this matter your immediate attention, and would like to extend an invitation to you to attend an interview at our offices as soon as is convenient, to discuss both the details and the situation and your professional fees. Anticipating a prompt reply, yours faithfully, Walter Dodge.
And then...
I'm not sure what's NCL, ENCL actually stand for.
Enclosed.
Enclosed, okay. Enclosed, article from Gamble Gazette.
Which somebody else other than Lucas would like to read the enclosed. I have sent that to the chat as well.
Lucas's eyes don't work well, so this is why I'm having trouble.
Gamble Gazette, Gamble Millionaire absent, January 17th, 1925. Gamble's most prosperous son, Arthur Quenthwaite, will not be seen at church over the next few weeks. Mr. Quenthwaite has apparently left the area for a time, possibly for a vacation or in relation to his studies. Some mystery surrounds Mr. Cornthwaite's departure, as it came without notice. However, an inspection of the mansion and the grounds by Sheriff Whitford has revealed no cause for alarm. The last person to speak to Mr. Quenthwaite was his attorney, Mr. Walter Dodge, on the 7th of this month. At that time, he gave no indication of his imminent departure, but according to Mr. Dodge, he did seem quite preoccupied, no doubt with his travel plans. We all know well that besides being a Gamwell landowner, Mr. Quenthwaite is also a millionaire, a scholar, a philanthropist, and an explorer. He may well be laying off the groundwork for some future exciting expedition, or perhaps just relaxing for time in New York. Gamwell citizens will no doubt remember fondly Mr. Cornthwaite's numerous generous donations to local charities and to the town library, and join with us in wishing him a safe and happy journey.
So Gamwell is about 80 miles outside of Boston. As this is Herald Gallery's profession, and being his trusty sidekicks, I am going to use DM Fiat and shove you all in a car, and you're already pulling into Gamwell, the town, as you speak.
So we're taking a Fiat?
That's what I was looking up. What's a 1920s Fiat look like?
No, I'm saying so we don't have to do the bullshit of you guys going back and forth for 20 minutes about what the fuck you're going to do. I'm
one of the guy who could drive.
I didn't. I almost got
to
drive.
You started to talk about.
I know. He can, though, no. Sort of.
So I've pushed the game along.
But check.
So if you are now currently chatting, pulling into Gamwell. Gamwell.
What
is,
if I didn't want to do the thing?
Look at
I had the choice.
These are nice looking cars. I like getting shoved in that Fiat.
Looks like it's only a two-seater there.
We can squeeze up. We're friends.
Multiple chauffeurs.
Gamwell is very much out of the way. It's a place where someone might buy an ice cream or a tonic on the way to somewhere else, but that's all. You see a lot of large, multi-acre properties, houses set back well away from the road. Gamwell itself is basically one street with
a modern
few buildings.
Daydream.
You can see you could see a sign for a boarding house. You can see a sign for the Dodge Brothers. You see a sheriff, the Gamwell Gazette. You see a graveyard outside of town, a sheriff's office, town hall, town library. That's basically it. Probably, like I said, a soda shop, a burger place. You know, six or seven businesses, very small place. You definitely could have had time to do some research ahead of time, so if there's something that you want to have done prior, I'll let you roll and I could give you something for that. But otherwise, we will pick up the scene as you're puttering into town about noontime on, I don't know, what, Thursday, February the 6th or something like that.
All right.
So were you saying that all the houses, are they like estates? Like, are they, is this like a concentration of very wealthy people?
Not all. I mean, you get the sense that a lot of it is farming community, but every once in a while you do see what looks to be, you know, it's a very rural place. So you're going to have some folks who are farming the land, and there seems to be more farming than like upper crust. But there are, you can tell, some properties set back that have, you know, wealthy landowners, servants, et cetera, et cetera. So it's not a high concentration of that, but there are probably a handful.
All right, this is pre-segregation.
And we're 80 miles outside Boston?
Correct. Which, again, in this time and time of day, you may not have even, if you set out that morning, you may not even be there by, you know, I figured putting you there by lunchtime is probably fair. It's going to take some time to get there. It's 80 miles. The roads aren't great, so you can't travel 80 miles then as nearly as fast as you could now. So theoretically, it may even take you a day to get there. I have no idea how long it would take you to drive 80 miles somewhat rurally in 1925. But it wouldn't be easy.
Probably a couple, 2-3 hours.
Yeah, so we'll say it's lunch-ish time when you put her up to Gamwell. Like I said, if there's anything you will decide to do that you could have done before you left, I can definitely let you have a roll on that. I'll give you each a roll of something if you decide. But otherwise, I just want to put you in Gamwell so we can start the actual written bit of the scenario.
Would there be any public record of what Mr. Cornthwaite does for a living?
If somebody would like to make some sort of roll, I would allow a roll for that.
I've got a decent library use.
I feel the librarian could probably make a library use roll.
I got 75.
Better than mine. I got 75. 20, so it's all you.
Yeah. 34.
Is that by
half? That is going to be by half because that's a 37.
Remember, you can spend luck points as well.
I don't need to.
If you need to. Well,
yes.
If you're like just real close to an extreme, sometimes it's worthwhile.
It is nice to remember that because I don't think about luck points ever.
Just can't do it in combat.
You learn 2 bits from that library use roll. Looking through, you find some odd clippings and stuff. You don't find anything of the Gamwell Gazette, which is not surprising because a very small town paper, Boston doesn't give a shit.
I would assume so.
But you do find some stuff from like the Boston Globe and some other things, maybe New York Times. You do locate Arthur Cornwaite. Cornthwaite.
Yeah, I was not having fun pronouncing that. I kept wanting to say Goldthwaite.
Well, nobody here can read it, so you could have called him, you know, Spatula, and no one would have cared. But Dr. Cornthwaite is an archaeologist, and in 1923, Cornthwaite led a major expedition into South America, which apparently suffered significant and tragic losses of lives. Cornthwaite is reported to be the only survivor.
And this is the one bit of information, or this is both parts together?
Both parts. Okay. There's a couple bullet points. I did some random rolls to see what you can tell.
Gotcha.
South America, you said?
Correct.
But no, nothing more specific than that?
No.
Ah, I bet it was Peru.
This better not be a fucking pyramid in Lima.
I hear they're nice this time of year.
Sure.
Quite warm and sunny.
Almost subtropical.
This time of year probably is nice.
Yes.
That happened a little later, wasn't it?
What?
Peru in masks. Wasn't it a couple years later?
No, you're probably really close.
It was real close, yeah.
It's almost like they keep using the same time frames over and over and over for these games. So, you know? Because it takes place prior to masks, and masks takes place
1925,
in...
it says.
Is it 20?
Multi-part set 1925.
I would say I thought it was 25.
Masks started in 26, right?
It's
the new edition, the one that you guys are running there. Epic multi-part campaign set in 1925.
Oh, so the campaign
had the little prequel bit.
Mm-hmm.
So the Peru, because the Peru bit is supposed to be like several years ahead of time. I can pull the book down and find out. Yeah, so it may be.
We need to go back and finish that fucking game.
Cornthwaite could have actually been part of that expedition, and they just lied about the survivors.
So, what do you want to do now that you've arrived in Gamwell?
Anybody got anything major they need to do?
So we know what he did.
Yep.
We kind of know what happened.
Are we? Where's the estate? We're in the town. Do we know where the estate is?
Apparently a very small town, so it can't be hard to find.
Again,
is this estate in town?
Rural small town. It might not be hard to find if you know where you're going.
I'll stop by the sheriff's office then.
If you want to stop by the the sheriff's office, you can.
To archaeologist or anthropologist?
Archaeologist.
Okay.
You see a slightly heavyset man, probably late 50s, early 60s, wearing a nice suit. He does have a sort of a sheriff's star on his lapel. He appears to be sitting at a typewriter, click clacking away. He seems to ignore you as you come in.
What time of day is it? Sorry.
Noonish. the early afternoon.
The luncheon, late luncheon time.
Good afternoon, chef.
He looks up. Can I help you?
A hero gallery. I reach out my hand.
You see him look at you and look at your hand.
Right. I'm investigating the disappearance of a Mr. Cornthwaite. I'm sure you're familiar?
Dodge boys had you come into town, huh? When'd you fellas come into town?
About 5 minutes ago.
How long have we been standing here?
And if I talk to the Haggertys, they'll confirm you weren't staying at the boarding house last night?
Engine's still warm if you'd like to touch it.
Just means you've been driving.
Yeah,
that means you ain't been around.
It's not a good argument.
I mean, and I just kind of like look out the window back and forth. Not exactly a big town. You'd notice us, I'd assume.
Yes, this Fiat we drive.
It's new.
I'm pretty big, so you notice me.
He gave me a branch. I'm going to take it.
Well, I'll be checking to make sure nobody's seen you yet.
Certainly. Might you be able to direct me to the Cornthwaite estate?
Why would you want to go there?
Well, as I said, I'm investigating the disappearance. It would be nice to start from the beginning.
Oh, yes, of course. No sign of foul play. That's what I told the boys.
Of course, yes, no.
It's always, those three cowards want to go up and knock on the door themselves, they can.
Three cowards?
Yes, the Dodge brothers.
I actually don't think I was aware that there were three of them. Lucas wasn't, so that's interesting.
It's called seeding the plot, advancing the storyline.
Yes, well, you know, when you're hired to do a job, you start from the beginning, don't you?
Well.
Sure, as a...
As the law in town, here's what I can tell you. In the last few weeks, he fired all of his servants, out-of-towners, by the way. And then he disappeared. No sign of his vehicle. No sign of foul play. No sign of violence. House and property look fine. That's what I told the Dodge brothers. It's their job to take care of him. My job is to take care of the town.
Certainly.
And the people in it. Don't know what's up. I don't know what's really going on with Mr. Cornthwaite, but I'm sure he will turn up soon.
Right. So the house is which direction?
This business is ridiculous.
And you could just tell us we'd be out of your hair. It's that easy.
It's 10 miles west of town. I'm sure the property is locked. And I'd appreciate it if we didn't have so many out-of-towners running around the fields outside of Gamwell. So, go talk to the Dodge brothers if you like. But I'd appreciate it if y'all moseyed out of town as soon as possible. And he spins around and starts typing again.
About the boarding house, though. Where is that also?
It's the sign that says boarding house. There's like six buildings in town.
Yeah, it's probably very easy to find.
It's fine. I'm just confirming, but...
Yes.
Okay,
sure.
Thank you.
Sure, a thorough investigation has happened so far.
Yeah. Okay. I'll go to the attorney's place. The Dodges.
Anybody have a decent bit of psychology?
I have a 40 and he's got...
I got a 25.
50.
Yeah, he's got a 50.
I'll let one roll on psychology.
You want to roll under, just under. Like
it's low,
under
50. It's golf rules. Low's better.
Yeah. No.
Okay. There's definitely something that set him off specifically. You can't pinpoint it. But you got enough to know. At first, it was just annoyance that somebody was in the sheriff's office, but something that the private investigator said specifically turned him. You can't identify it, but you're sure. Something about that line of inquiry really pissed him off.
Likely that I'm trying to do the job he already did.
I mean,
he's got a good enough psychology role that there's something else there.
He said, hello. Can you tell me where the house is?
Maybe it was his voice.
I told him, yeah, it could be that I'm foreign.
Just his face. It pisses off everybody.
I hate these fucking emo kids.
I'm a 32 app. Not looking good here, guys.
It's called dogs, mini level.
Dogs start growling. Kids go silent. It's a bad day for everybody.
I'm the second least attractive person. Third least attractive. I'm of the four. I fall into third place.
So where would you like to go?
It's right where I want to be.
Good.
In the boy band, you're the fat one.
He mentioned...
Perfect.
Pronounced Fatone.
He mentioned going to the lawyer's place.
Sure.
Is that close? Where was the address? I thought that was somewhere else.
It didn't say a city on
it's
it.
It's just a couple
it
of did. Buildings.
It says 14th Main Street Gamewell, so it's here.
Oh.
Yeah, it's like literally next door. Like
walk, you know, I'll just walk straight to it.
Yeah, we can walk there. The only reason is like boarding house, so if there's a bunch of out-of-towners running around and or former employees that have
we should definitely get back in the car and peel out.
If anything, turn the car so the tires, when the wheels spin, they throw the rocks and or debris at.
It's probably a dirt road, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Rocks and or debris. I was thinking gravel.
Horse apples.
You walk over to the Dodge Brothers, which appears to be a small sort of country bumpkin, you know, office. Bell rings. You see a middle-aged man, receding hairline, fairly nice done-up suit. Oh, hello, my name is Reginald Dodge. I assume that one of you is the private investigator?
That would be me, sir.
Ah, yes, yes. And he goes to shake your hand.
Yes.
He calls back, Walter, Herbert, they're here.
So people in this town do shake hands then?
Yes, yes, of course. Bloke next it's the only civilized thing to do.
Bloke next door is a bit of a dick.
Ah, the sheriff?
Yeah.
Hmm. He clearly has no comment. The three Dodge brothers assemble. You can tell that they are all... And this is one of the things that... One of the reasons why I wanted the PDF, because I wanted to share some of these images. They are the saddest sack shit looking trio. I love this photo. I will take a photo and send it to the chat. They look like... Almost like a shitty, sad a cappella group. The art is awesome. Like, fantastic.
You're talking... I can see the two smiling faces to the right, and I'm like, they don't look sad.
No. Those are happy people.
Not these bumpkins.
They all look just a little dead inside.
So the one that greeted us initially is the back right?
You can choose whichever you want. No, actually, it does tell me which one is the mustached one.
Oh.
Walter is the mustache one.
He's the left.
Yeah.
The one on the right and the left both have mustaches.
The one on the right? I don't
think
the one
think on the right has just, a
mustache.
Has
I think that's shadow.
It looks like a Hitler stash online.
It does look like a Hitler stash because of the lighting down here.
It wouldn't be out of taste. At this point in time.
Not for another 10 years.
Yeah, it's got a minute.
Yes. He's a fan of Charlie Chaplin.
There's the guy.
Can't get my fucking cookie open.
Child.
God damn.
Oh, chocolate with white macadamia?
So, yes.
White chocolate chip.
I know.
So they take you into a small office. They sit down. They ask you if they can make you, you know, a cup of tea or something.
Oh, yes, please.
Yes. Introductions all around. Yes. I hope this means, since you've come to Gamwell, that you'll find what happened to Mr. Cornwaith.
Yes. From your letter, it seems as though you know nothing.
Yes. No. He was speaking to us about this sort of, you know, normal business. And then we, after some requests, we hadn't heard from him for a little while, so we went out to the house and weren't able to find him.
What sort of requests?
You know, we sort of, we keep his books, his accounts, his will, sort of the comings and goings of his property, his investments, so on and so forth. We manage that for him.
When was his will last updated?
It's been a little while. Not enough that you would immediately strike it as irrelevant. Maybe last year.
Who received anything from the will if he was to pass?
Unfortunately, the details of the will are something that I cannot reveal.
Okay.
Is there somebody
that we could
who could benefit from him dying?
No, not particularly. They kind of confer softly with each other. In terms of your investigation, we do not believe that there is there is, we believe what you're asking, and in terms of the will, we can confirm that there is no direct next of kin. The assets would be donated and divvied and sold off.
So he's a man of good means.
Yes, quite.
We could probably assume that based on how the Gazette wrote.
You're happy to we can't provide you the will, of course, given our profession, but if you'd like to look over his ledgers, we believe that that would be all right.
Might be a good idea.
Yeah, not a bad idea to look at that.
Anybody have an accounting role?
I have a 40. Anyone have better?
I match. I have 5.
Can you both work?
There are
both
numbers here.
32.
Cornthwaite is indeed a wealthy man and likely to remain so. He has a number of sound investments and his estate will continue to make money, presuming he's alive. You see that his last major expedition was to South America in 1923, okay. And you could see that there were a lot of hiring of men and transport of equipment to South America.
Did he bring anything back from that? Did he get any kind of... Given he was the only one that returned from at least the last expedition, did he come back with anything that's marked up there? Anything?
Give me an int roll.
Okay. 71. My aim is 80, so I'm under.
The only thing. So you have a period where, like, you can clearly see supplies are being purchased, and then there's obviously a gap where nothing was spent.
Mm-hmm.
The very next thing is paying off passage for one ticket back from South America.
Gotcha.
One ticket, one passenger, you know.
So nothing
cargo major. Class. Yeah, it wasn't like he bought a barge back of valuables. Whatever he brought back would have probably been himself and a trunk, which is shocking considering the amount of shit and people he took.
Yeah, the things he took versus what he brought back was drastically less.
What was customs like back then? Like, do they have to, like, if they brought back like a priceless artifact, did they have to go through customs?
1920s,
probably not.
The priceless artifact was. That's a nice bag you have there. Thank you. I just got it.
It's fascinating to think about customs now. My parents they've only gone out of the States one time. They went to Jamaica, and this would have been probably in like the early to mid 90s. Mm. And my dad told me he lost his wallet in Jamaica and they didn't have passports. And so they're like, oh, you're going back to Indiana. And my dad literally says to the customs guys, like, yeah, I'm a real big fan of basketball, as his identifier of, yes, I am from Indiana. And they let him in. Like, so thinking about customs that those of us of this generation or younger generations have gone through, customs was drastically different 20 plus years ago. God knows what it was 100 years ago.
I think historically there wasn't really any sort of customs unless it was like a controlled substance or like arms.
Or firearms, yeah.
That's fair.
Which I know based on your... stuff with masks, like,
we have a right to bear arms.
Bringing guns into Europe was very much hard to do.
We got it to work.
Things that you can buy in the Sears and Roebuck catalog from the 20s? A Tommy gun.
Yeah.
The classic choice.
Absolutely. God bless America. something that you do notice, because it was brought up, you don't see anything. You see... There's accounts of newer things after that.
Yeah.
Furnishings, food, larder, everything like that. You don't see any entries for domestic staff.
Gotcha. Because he did say they're the hired out-of-towners.
Correct.
Do you know anything about the staff? It seems as though the staff was fired before he took off.
That is not something that we necessarily managed.
Never met them?
No, we did.
Anyone strange?
Not particularly remarkable.
Where are they from?
I think he had 2 staff.
Also,
I'd have to dig.
A passing thing that the sheriff said was the out-of-towners are running about the fields. Was that just a turn of phrase, or was he being more direct in the statement that there literally are people just running around in the fields?
Are you asking the DM or are you asking the ether?
I'm asking the person.
Okay.
Hence why I stated...
It's a good question. It's
as
like,
a passing
sure
statement,
you were looking
the sheriff
at me, I wasn't sure if you were asking just in general.
Well, more the idea is my character would look at yours because we were there listening. I'm making sure I'm repeating what we heard accurately.
Fair. Oh, that might explain a few things. You said that the sheriff was particularly
perturbed.
Yes. One of the who is it? Seb Watkins. It's a farmer that neighbors the Cornwaith estate. He reported a lost horse this morning. That's pretty unusual. I would presume that the sheriff is concerned about a missing horse, and then four men show up into town. We don't get a lot of strangers.
He did ask us if we were staying at the boarding house.
There would be nowhere else to stay.
He's quite worried as to whether or not anyone else had even seen us.
It sounds as though he's decided that you have kidnapped the Watkins horse.
Yes, in our Fiat.
I like how the Fiat has become a thing, since that's not at all where
it's funny as fuck, and we're going to keep going with it.
It was a Fiat. That's what we said. You said, I'm using DM's Fiat to force you into the car and to...
We're going to roll it.
Yep. No, I understand. I am aware.
We have a Fiat.
We bought it together.
Give them an inch, and they'll take a mile.
If we find the horse and it's alive, we're taking it now.
He's going to drag our Fiat. A carriage.
So, yeah, he reported a missing horse.
Got it.
And is missing livestock unusual here?
A bit. Livestock being attacked by wolves or, you know, something like that is not unheard of, but usually there's a carcass. My understanding is that Seb went out and couldn't find one. So.
Could it not just simply leap a fence and take off?
It's possible, but it's a fairly tight-knit community around here. Usually if that happens, the horses or any other animals that have gotten loose are found relatively quickly.
And returned, I would assume, if unharmed.
Correct. It's possible that a neighbor is absconding with it.
Yes.
Hoarding horse.
Perhaps we should go speak to this Mr. Watkins.
You said he's on their estate or
no? It's a neighboring farm.
Estate. Okay, I misheard at the beginning.
Do you happen to have a key to Mr. Quantwaite's estate?
Of course. I believe I was looking to answer your other question because I know that there are names in here. I just have to find it.
That's fine.
Blah, 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 blah. They hand you.
Oh, the servants, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's written in here, but I gotta find it. I'm pretty sure there were two. I think there was a gardener and a maid, but
that's fine. We can note off to the side. Once you find them, you can let us know.
I believe they hand you... Yes, they hand you two keys. One is for the front door and one is for the back.
Okay.
Go ahead.
You are more than welcome, if you'd like, to stay on the property, if that's useful. Obviously, it will be dark soon. We do ask, obviously, that you avoid any damage to the property.
Certainly. Is there a garage?
Int by five rolls for everybody.
Int by five.
Got 42.
By half.
Oh, by half.
Fail.
Is that the...
It'd be your main roll. You're 75, you're 80, you're...
Yeah, I have an 80 int and I got a 42, but int by five is what again?
Is that
It'd be that 80.
He says it by five and it confuses everybody. He should just say it.
It's a six edge thing.
Because
okay, so then I got it
by five.
Yeah, I got it by. I almost got half, but I passed.
I passed too. Then
I forget that it's
all of you realize this, but probably since Dr. De La Croix, you get more of it. These guys are the way that the will probably is written.
They're going to benefit.
They're going to benefit extremely from selling off the property. That's where they're going to make their money. So if he's pissed off to Europe, then they're sitting here minding the store without making any money. They're set to make an extreme amount of money if they can sell off his property and sell off his, you know, all of his goods. Because whatever is not being donated to the local whatever or the Institute of blah, blah, blah
they
is
get.
Shit that they are going to sell and take a hefty commission on.
Got it.
So they sure as fuck don't want you damaging anything because that's how they're going to make money. Which is odd. Which is a little odd, but you get the sense that that these sort of sniveling cowards are really, really.
Meta note, burn the house down. Rave!
Is it a garage?
Do what?
A garage.
No, there's no garage.
You would say garage, actually.
Is there a barn?
There's a shed. There's a gardening shed.
Hmm.
Fair.
We have arranged for accommodation at the boarding house if you prefer. The estate is about 10 miles outside of town, and the terrain is fairly rough.
Luckily, we have our vehicle.
Luckily, you have DM Fiat to get you there.
We do. Special brand.
We keep rolling,
making
rolling,
model.
Rolling.
At good points in the story, rolls are made at disadvantage and half.
In the ledger, what was the what was the most previous?
Prior to his disappearance.
Exploration besides South America.
So you want to go farther back than South America?
That's a good call.
It was probably like 10 years prior, also to South America. It seems like he is focused on South America.
Okay. Do we see regularities in spendings from
that trip to
the two expeditions time. And more importantly, is there differences between that and after the latest one?
In terms of what he's spending money on?
Yeah.
No. Okay. There's no regularity. I will allow another counting roll. Somebody who's... If that idea is brought up while you're looking at the ledgers, either one of you can make it. I don't care. I assume everybody's looking at it, so somebody can roll.
Ooh, not that time. I got a 71. That is way over.
I'll let Alex relax. Hasn't had to have a...
Go for it. Maybe you catch something I missed.
Even higher than you.
Yeah.
All right.
No one knows a damn thing.
Hang on. We tried.
There is a gardener and a servant.
Gardener and servant.
Didn't give it names?
If it did, it didn't give it in this section. I'll look somewhere else.
No problem.
How exactly...
Are they still on the estate?
Did Mr. Cornthwaite make his money? Doesn't seem like between such lengthy expeditions that...
He's invested in General Electric, and he's connected to the Rockefellers and oil. Okay. With the accounting rolls that have been made, these guys who look at it and be like, holy shit, this guy bought stocks in Apple. You know what I mean?
So he's new money? Did he inherit?
He's the prosperous son of a...
Oh, they're saying the thing.
Yeah, most prosperous. Nope, never mind. It's a title they gave him. The town gave him. Never mind.
It's blast from the past money.
It seemed he was a millionaire. So it's money he had.
At no point in the ledger does it ever show not having money. If that makes sense. There's always been money. So you could presume.
How far back?
You could also
ledger.
Ask if you want to. Obviously.
No, I mean, okay. I was.
How far back?
So
is
your
the
character
ledger?
Is asking yes. the characters. He comes from wealth. He inherited a fortune after the death of his parents 25-30 years ago.
And did he grow that wealth, or has he been largely living off that wealth?
No, and that's again what he can confirm. He's invested it soundly. He is making a profit.
How far back do the ledgers go?
Probably 10, 15 years.
There's a weird scrawling.
I can probably tell you the exact.
I was gonna say, how long has he been working with you?
Well, hold on.
That's an important question.
That was a good question.
Oh, sorry, not as far back as I thought it was. My bad. 1919. He purchased the estate in 1919. For some reason, I thought that was 1909. My bad.
All good.
Where was he living before?
I believe he lived in New York.
Makes sense with the Rockefeller.
So your question again?
So you get the sense that he was independently wealthy. He went to school, became an archaeologist, invested in a lot of stuff, did some jaunting around, some travel. had this thing in South, you know, bought this property, had this thing in South America, which is the only reason why the Dodge brothers have record of it. They're the only goddamn lawyers in town, so
yeah,
who else fair. Is he going to work with?
Yeah.
Right. Does anyone have anything else, or should we move on to the estate?
Don't know that I want to move to the estate necessarily.
You want to talk to Seb first?
I want to talk to somebody who can vouch for these guys. Or unvouch for these guys.
Sure. Where would you like to go?
Probably not the sheriff, because he doesn't like
well,
them
yeah.
anyway.
Go to the boarding house?
And I was going to say, we check the boarding house. What else is in the town?
Either a boarding house or a pub or a bar, if there's one, a tavern.
Oh, 1925.
Yeah, that stuff's...
I suppose, yeah.
If they are, it's in someone's farm.
In the basement yeah. of the boarding house.
The other signs that you see for local establishments would be... you do see a sign for a boarding house. The Gamwell Gazette.
Oh, that's right.
The sheriff's office. The town hall. The town library. And you did see a sign for a graveyard. I don't know that that's a place that you want to visit, but you did see a sign for a graveyard outside.
We might visit it at some point.
The library or yeah. newspaper might be decent places
to look for specifically.
The library.
Clues, goddamn
yeah,
you!
Newspaper's going to follow stories.
I want info on these guys.
The newspaper might have further...
news and paper.
Yeah, like clippings that we wouldn't know about. Past pressed pieces.
I'm good with the library. It kind of seems fitting. Because we can kind of split for information gathering. Want, yeah. Do we want to go 2-2? Who's got better people skills?
I can intimidate really well.
He can fast talk. He might get real speaky
intimidate
with
the country bumpkin. See how that goes for you.
I don't think
everybody's armed to the teeth and the law doesn't like you.
So, I got a 60 in intimidate. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I do not have very good interpersonal skills.
Seems that might be a thing we're all lacking in.
My persuade is decent, but...
But you had to buy those guns.
Yeah, that's my fucking intimidate.
He's got fast talk. He can just...
Open carry.
Ramble at them.
So, who's going where? What are we doing?
I'm going to the library.
Okay, going to the library.
Why don't you two go to the newspaper and I'll go with him to the library.
Okay,
sounds like a plan.
Do you want to do the newspaper or the library first? Actually, I will decide unless you want me. Unless, what do you guys want to do? I already offered you. I made my decision on what I want to do, but
newspaper.
Good.
That's where he was.
You're the DM. You just tell us what you want us to do.
I know. The sign says Gamwell Gazette, established 1847. Is a very small and cluttered office. You can hear. You can kind of smell the ink. You can see sort of a sweaty, round faced older man. Sort of stripped to the dress shirt, and you can see he's kind of working presses and setting type in the back. There's a younger man who is sort of talking to him, probably in his 30s, sort of yelling out what the type should be set, and he seems to be scribbling some notes and sort of just generally chit-chat back and forth.
I want to pause, rewind a bit. He specifically, Lucas's character, Harold, was specifically hired by the Dodge brothers.
Correct. What kind of offer to pay you a $100 bonus to locate Mr. Cornwaith with a $100 bonus if you have the answer within the week.
Additional?
Yep, so $200 if you can figure out the answer in the next 7 days.
Not bad.
Where in
Seems kind of high. It makes me even more suspicious.
That's because you've watched any Hanna-Barbera ever.
I also do assume that's partly because...
I mean, no, he seeded it by saying that basically these guys are the ones to probably most profit from this guy disappearing.
Well, you were asking who is most likely to profit. These guys would probably profit. I mean, local charities or whatever else the shit is going to profit the most, but they're going to get a cut of anything that gets sold.
So, like, what would Harold / us as a unit... Our reputation be for them to hire us versus something
you guys
else.
Are the Scooby-Doo gang.
I'm apparently really good at what I do.
He's a private investigator who finds people.
He was the cheapest.
Does
option.
He find people?
Well,
roll for
well, that's
it.
What I'm trying to understand. Like
in this story,
did they hire bumbling dunces or did they hire the A team?
They did hire. What's your character's name? Harold Gallery? Harold Gallery is a successful private investigator prior to this. Okay. Now, with Lucas in control,
well, no, anything's fair game. That's understood.
I have foil-stamped name cards.
They're embossed.
Okay.
Embossed.
No, that somewhat helps.
I feel shame just
they're
being
not his name. They're just embossed cards.
Yeah, somebody else's
out.
Name, but I have them.
Gerald Falloway?
Is
the Undertaker.
Yeah.
But you do see the
is the typesetter played by Burgess Meredith?
Oh, can it be though?
No, I would say this is more
it's a really old episode of Twilight Zone. He plays like the devil who like joins a gazette.
He definitely looks like fucking somebody, awesome. But I wouldn't say that.
It's a great
this
episode.
Guy looks more like what's the guy's name? Boss Hoss?
Oh,
oh boy. Yeah.
Okay.
The smiling guy in the hat you saw the corner of the photo?
Yeah,
that's him.
Okay.
The typesetter's played more like by Boss Hoss.
Fine.
The other guy, the young guy, looks a little more almost like Italian stereotype. Lean, slick back hair, pencil behind the ear,
sure.
Big smile. As you walk in, he says, "Oh, welcome to the Gamwell Gazette." And he goes rushing up to you. Sticks his hand out, big long arms. He's like, I'm Joe Varelli, lead reporter for the Gamwell Gazette. What brings you to town?
Wonderful to meet you, sir. Harold Galloway. Gallery.
Was that?
I keep wanting to say Galloway.
One name, or was that Joe Varelli?
Joe Varelli.
You said it really quickly, so.
But no. This guy is.
This dude's connected.
He's like. You see that he's got like the notepad, and he's itching to have a reason to pull the pencil out from behind his ear.
Told you. Typical stereotypes. Cop, criminal, fast talker.
We were brought in by...
You weren't there.
I thought that's what we were. Yeah.
You're at the library.
You went to the library.
Oh, we went to the library.
Would you like to swap positions?
No, it's fine.
You want to switch?
Go ahead.
Okay.
Edit that part out.
I think it'd be better with you over here than me.
You already had an idea set up for what you're looking for. Maybe you did go.
So, what can I do for you, gents? Welcome to town. What brings you to Gamwell?
So, we're investigating the disappearance of a local.
Oh, you don't say! And that all of a sudden you see that notepad come out. And who are you, sir?
Harold Gallery.
Harold Gallery. I see. Did the Dodge Brothers bring you in?
Yes.
Ah, I see. And you see he's starting to take notes.
I literally just reach over and grab the notepad and just slowly pull it out of his hand.
Ah. The story gets more interesting. Stan! He yells. And the portly Boss Hoss guy kind of goes around the corner and is like, yes.
And like, as I'm talking, I'm like tearing out that paper, the page, just real slowly.
Can we help you, gents?
Yes, we're investigating the disappearance of a Mr. Cornthwaith.
Yes. I'd heard about that. We don't necessarily know, you know, the Gamwell's position, of course, is that he's likely run off, to New York or somewhere else. I'm sure he'll show back up.
Sure.
He's disappeared, I tell you.
I pull out the little clipping and I say, at some point you posted this piece here about his...
It's a puff piece, I tell you. Stan, it's a puff piece. I'm telling you, it's not accurate. You don't know that, Joe. It's a puff piece!
Do you have anything on file from any of his... anything else with his name in it?
Sure. And Stan says, you're more... Joe, calm down. Sorry. He really thinks that he's going to win a Pulitzer, which I hope is not an anachronistic joke at this time.
Yes, no, I'm quite sure he will.
Just
crumple up the piece of paper and toss it behind me.
You see him, he sort of yells at Joe, and Joe goes over to sets the type, but he keeps giving you furtive glances. Anyway.
Slide the notebook in his upper pocket.
You are more than welcome. You're more than welcome to take a look at any of our back issues. They're stored in the
1917.
Back. All right, yes. It's relatively new. It's a new joke. It's topical.
I can get an award for this?
He's like, there have only been 7 so far. I'm going to be the 8th.
We're pulling for you.
But yeah, he basically indicates a room in the back with all the back issues. You're more than happy to look through them if you like.
What kind of role would that be to...
Library use!
That would be good that you have the other library.
I believe you can aid as well. Can you not in this game?
I only have a 20. Do you have to set the succeed to aid?
7.
I think there's...
He's good.
I think a 7
rolled out with a 7.
Is that an extreme?
Yeah, I think what, you have a 75 like me? Or...
What's your library use?
My library use is 55.
Okay, so...
So your extreme, hang on.
It's not 11. That. I have a 75. Sorry,
yeah, it's an extreme.
Oh, whoa, what? Shit, you're right. Never mind, I'm dumb.
I succeeded wonderfully.
So Dave just walks in and just goes, this one. Just this one. This one. Just starts pulling them out.
You're able to find numerous and references to Cornwaith all the way back to his arrival in 1919. Opening fetes, attending tea parties, donating to the church, winning bridge nights, giving books to the library, and so on. This isn't really so much a newspaper as it's like a local newsletter. Like, it's, we're not breaking news here, you know what I mean? So I don't know if any of you grew up in a small enough town, but I had a small town newspaper, and like half the time it was like, so and so says Larry was out late last night, you know, like, it's dumb shit, and the people eat the small town gossip up.
Yeah, it's a gossip column, basically.
He's the local millionaire, so yes, there's a fuck ton of articles on him.
Anything of note of his, any strange activities or strange behavior, anything like that come up? Anything, in like recent issues?
Anything around the expedition return?
And also around
dates?
The expedition and return, yes.
No.
Neat.
You start looking at some things, and something catches your eye in terms of a news article.
Ow! Yeah, it was the corner of a table or something.
Son of a bitch.
And that's how Dave died.
Got a horrible eye infection. They took his skull.
What?
No, he slipped. He hit his eye on the table.
Slipped. And you realize, because you happen to notice that it says something about... At first you think it says Sheriff Whitford, even though you're looking at articles from quite some time ago. You're just poking around.
I would hope with a crit like that, I'm poking selectively.
You stumble across the handout that I just sent. I will let you take a look at that, and we'll go to the folks in the town library.